This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Agazinta Winter, even though it's still the fall, but I guess we're calling it Al-Shem Ha'asid. Welcome, everybody, to the new series on Sefer Bereishis, which is, again, generously sponsored by Dr. Zakheim Umishpachta, Leila Nishmas, Reb Shloime Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov, Zakheim, and Leila Nishmas, her mother, Rivka Bas Tovia. We thank the Zakheim Mishpacha for once again sponsoring Sefer, the next Sefer, and we wish them a Zman of Bracha v'Hatzlacha, Yimali Hashem Kol Mishalas Libchem L'Toiva. Okay, so we have a new season, as we mentioned, that as soon as you finish Devarim, you have to immediately start Bereishis. So even though we always try to continue with the Shiurim, but there is a certain urgency that when you finish Devarim, to immediately start Bereishis, and we're Spalal HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us Siyata Deshmaya and Chidushim, the upcoming Sefer, Gal Einai V'Abita Neflois Mitayrasecha. Okay, so let's start with the following. We know Adam Arishon, he ate from the fruit. He ate from the tree. God said, you could eat whatever you want. Eat apples, eat pears, eat bananas, eat, I don't know what, eat mangoes, eat kiwi. Just don't eat from this tree. By the way, in the new upcoming Sefer, there's a piece, I don't know, there might be a clip on it. What exactly was the Eitz Hadas? Was it a chita? Was it a te'ena? Was it a gefen? Was it an esrog? What kind of fruit was it? And there are opinions, some sefer says it was all four. And each, by the way, each yomtiv, each one of the four yomtiv in Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, and Shemini Atzeres corresponds to one, a different fruit of the Eitz Hadas, a different way to be misaken the Eitz Hadas. Anyway, Adam made from the Eitz Hadas, and God said, "Ki shamata l'kol eshtecha, you listen to your wife, and you ate from the tree I told you not to eat from, and God laid it on. Arurah adama bavarecha, the earth is cursed because of you. Be'it savoin toichelena, you'll eat it in sadness. V'koitz v'dardar tatzmiach lach, you're going to have thorns and thistles. V'achaltas esav asada, you're going to shvitz for a living." People think they go to work and they come home all tired. They say, that wasn't easy. When God said, he wasn't joking. He meant business. Comes the Gra, which in the Sefer Hadras Kodesh, and it's brought in the Chumash Hagra. And at this point in history, 10 Klalois were laid onto Adam Arishon. They are number one, Arura HaAdama. Number two, Be'id Savoin Toichlena. Number three, Koitz. Number four, Dardar. Number five, Yachaltas Esav Asada. Number six, Bezeya Sapecha. Number seven, Ad Shuvcha. Number eight, Kimimeno Lukachta. Number nine, Ki Afar Ata. Number ten, V'yal Afar Toshuv. Nevertheless, even though Adam was, 10 Klalois were hurled onto Adam Harishain. Nevertheless, we're going to discover now there are a number of aspects of creation that were never ruined, impugned, sullied, dirtied by the sin of Adam Harishain. Now, some of these ideas we've mentioned, so to speak, agav orcha in other shiurim, but this is a new subject. We're going to collect all the various aspects of the Bria that were not affected by the sin of Adam Arishon. Number one, after Adam ate from the fruit, God chased him out of Gan Eden. Like the Pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Heino Adam Hayak Achmen Odas Tavira." Now Adam's going to be like one of us. And Vi'ata Pen Yishlach Yodai. Now maybe he's going to send forth his hand. So the Ben Ishchai asks in Aderes Eliyahu, why did God say now he's going to send forth his hand? It should say now he might eat from the Eitz HaChayim. What's the language of sending forth his hand? Why does it say pen yishlach yodoy? Maybe he'll send forth his hand. Isn't the chashash he might eat from the Eitz HaChayim? Says the Ben Ishchai, look in the Sefer of the Ramam Mipano, the Asara Mamarais, Mamar Tzivos Hashem. That amazingly, by the Cheder of the Eitz Hadas, it says he ate, but it never says he took it. He never took it. Rafal Yair, he never took the fruit. He didn't take it. He opened up his mouth and he just bit into it without touching it. It doesn't say Vayikach. He'd never used his hands. You know why he never used his hands? Because the Gemara, because before he sinned, he was a tzaddik. And the Gemara in Chulin says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring takala al yedei tzaddikim, through the hands of tzaddikim. God always protects the hands of tzaddikim. So when Chava said, hey Adam, you want to eat? Adam Rishon opened up his mouth and he ate it like, I don't know, like he bit it off the tree. But he never touched it. Adam never sullied his hands with the Eitz Hadas. Why? Because before he sinned, he was a tzaddik. And the Gemara in Chulin says on Hayam and Beis, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yedei tzaddikim. God doesn't bring ruination to the hands of tzaddikim. And therefore, says the Ben Ishchai, when Kohanim bless the people, they don't stand on their head and bless with their feet, because the feet were involved in the sin of Eitz Hadas. And they don't just bless with, they lift up their hands, because the hands are the purest part of the body. Maybe that's why we emphasize Neki Chapayim, the cleanliness of the hands. The hands are pristine from the sin of the Eitz Hadas. That's why, says the Ben Ishchai, Hashem was worried. At least Adam has one part of his body that's not sullied, but now that he ate from the Eitz Hadas and he's not a tzaddik anymore, Pen Yishlach Yodoy, I'm afraid now that he's not a tzaddik and Hashem only protects the hands of tzaddikim, but now that Adam is not a tzaddik, now he might take the Eitz HaChaim with his hands and then there'll be nothing left that's unsullied. So that's the idea, that the Ribbono Shel Olam was very careful not to allow Adam to have his hands ruined, because Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yedei tzaddikim. So that's the first part of Adam that's unsullied, the Yadayim. By the way, that's why we're mispalel on Matzah Shabbos. V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu aleinu umaseh yadeinu kainana aleinu. God should establish the work of our hands, because our hands are the purest part of the body. That's why the pasuk says about David HaMelech in Shmuel Aleph Perk Yud Ches Pasuk Yud, the David Menagin Biyadoi, David played the harp with his hands. Of course the hands, what else? He played it with his nose? No, because the hands were pure, and David HaMelech was the tikkun of Adam HaRishon, and therefore he wanted to be Menagin Ta'kadosh Baruch with Yadav Shaloi Nifkamu. And that's why David is Mispalel and Tehillim. Yigmaleni Hashem Kitzidki, God should give me payment in accordance with my righteousness. Kivar Yadai, like the purity of my hands. Next. So that's the first part of Adam that didn't sin. Next, the Rambam Pano in Perek Yud Gimel reveals another secret, that there's another Aver of Adam HaRishon that didn't sin. Who remembers? This is from an old shir. You know what else didn't sin from the sin of Adam HaRishon? That when...
The throat.
Very good. Was it Gedalia? Is that you?
Yeah.
They say Gedalia Schwartz sometimes listens to a few shiurim. You know, but it's very good, Gedalia, that we know that when Adam Rishon sinned, even his voice box also did a small sin by denying the toiva of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God gave him a wife, and Adam was kafar b'toiva when he said Ho'isha asher nasati imadi. However, we're gonna identify exactly where in the throat Adam didn't sin. The Rambam Pano says precisely, the shipoi koiva, the covering of the windpipe. There's like a covering of the windpipe, and that remained clean, and that's where the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu was hanging out, in the shipoi koiva, and a little bit in the gargaras. and that did not participate from the sin. When Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, it did not nourish the inside of the kaneh called the Shipoi Kaiva and inside the Gargaras. And the Rambam Pano says the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu was hanging out there. This is something we once discussed. And that is why the Rambam Pano says God spoke out of the voice box of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because since Moshe was in the throat of Adam that did not sin by the chet of Eitz Hadas, so Moshe Rabbeinu's throat, his voice box was pure, and the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke out of his voice box. Furthermore, the Rambam Pano explains that this is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to separate from his wife. He was the only person in history who was permitted to separate from his wife. Why? Because why does Adam HaRishon must be with his wife as a tikkun for the chet of the Eitz Hadas? But since Moshe Rabbeinu did not participate in the Eitz Hadas, because he was hanging out in the kaneh, in the shipoy koive of Adam HaRishon, therefore he was rewarded that he was not subject. He did not have the responsibility to be, so to speak, tethered El Ishtoi. And that's why when Aaron and Miriam criticized Moshe, who does Moshe Rabbeinu think he is, that he separated from his wife? So what did God said? B'chol beisi neman hu. Moshe Rabbeinu is trustworthy. I don't understand. Why is God saying to Aaron and Miriam that Moshe is trustworthy? They didn't accuse Moshe of robbing a bank. If they accuse Moshe of robbing the bank, so Hashem should say to Miriam and Aaron, Moshe is trustworthy. If they accuse Moshe of taking money from the Pushka, so God should say, Neman hu, he's trustworthy. But they accused him of separating from his wife. So why is God saying, no, he's trustworthy? Who cares if he's trustworthy? Why is he allowed to separate from his wife? The answer is, says Rambam Pano, they wanted to know, how could he separate from his wife? God said, because he was trustworthy when I told Adam not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He listened to me. So since he listened to me and he didn't listen to his wife, he doesn't have to listen to his wife anymore. Meaning, what's the reason why Ish must listen to Ishtai? Because since he listened to her when she gave him the fruit, so forever now, he's responsible to her. But Moshe did not listen to Chava. When Chava said, hey Adam, would you like some fruit soup? Some delicious cocktail that made out of the Eitz Hadas? And Adam said, yeah. And Moshe in the throat, he said, no. So now he's no longer tethered to his wife. So now comes the tzaddik of Ranana, the Ben Lo Ashri, in Parashas Va'aschanan, and he says this is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was born Mahol, the reason he was born circumcised. Says the tzaddik of Ranana, why is a person born with an arla, a foreskin, which is like a defect? That's a result of the sin of the Eitz Hadas. But because Moshe did not participate in the sin of the Eitz Hadas, he was born already circumcised. And then, you ready for this story? This is a story, unbelievable story. This is a story about the Rishoner. They once came to the Rishoner, and he was drinking coffee. And they said, Rebbe, why don't you have sugar in the coffee? He said, I have sugar in between my fingers. And they said, Rebbe, but the coffee is bitter and you're not putting the sugar in your mouth. He said, my fingers are able to digest the sugar. They said, what? He said, why should only a mouth be able to eat? The whole body should be able to eat. The answer is because of the sin of the Eitz Hadas, the limbs fight each other. So you have to ingest the food. But if somebody was not participating in the sin of the Eitz Hadas, they could put a piece of sugar on their knuckles, and it would just go into the body, and the whole body would be nourished. The Rishoner says, when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, my soul ran away. Therefore, my body is pure from the sin of the Eitz Hadas. I put sugar between my fingers. Look, it's not there anymore. It was absorbed into my bloodstream through my fingers. The Rishoner said that his soul did not participate in the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Where was it? According to the story, it ran away. But based on what we're saying, there is this concept like Moshe Rabbeinu, whose neshama did not participate in the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Now, just off the bat, there's another neshama whose sin did not participate in the sin of the Eitz Hadas. And this is another Rambam Pano. quoted by Reb Chaim Falaji in the Sefer Berchas Mayadecha L'Chaim, also brought in the on Drush Aleph, and also brought in the Sefer Yismach Moshe on Parshas Vayechi. And that is, you know who else was hanging out in the Kana? Let me share with you a Gemara Masechta Tainis on Daf Hayamid Beis. Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yitzchak were sitting at a Suda. Rav Nachman says to Rabbi Yitzchak, Zogibber, say over a nice Dvar Torah. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. You're not allowed to converse at a Suda because you might be makdim the kana to the veshet. In other words, Rav Nachman asked Rabbi Yitzchak, say something. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, number one, you can't talk in a meal because you might advance the kana to the veshet, the windpipe to the food pipe. And number two, he said, Yaakov avinu loy meis, Yaakov never died. What do these two teachings have to do with each other? Number one, you might advance the windpipe to the food pipe. And number two, Yaakov avinu never died. Says Reb Chaim Falaji, this indicates that besides Moshe Rabbeinu, who was hanging out in the Kana, Yaakov Avinu also was hanging out in the Kana. He also did not participate in the sin of the Eitz Hadas. That's the connection between Shema Yaakdim Kana Leveshet and Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. By the way, Yaakov Avinu never died because he never participated in the sin of the Eitz Hadas. So far we have the hands, and we have the inside of the windpipe. Here's the third aspect of man that never participated in the sin of the Eitz Hadas, and this is not a limb, it's a sense. The Gemara Masechta Brachos Mem Gimel Amud Beis asks, how do you know you make a bracha on smell? The Pasuk says, Koil ha-nishama tehalel ka, halleluka. You have to thank Hashem for every breath. You have to thank Hashem. What's something that the soul gets benefit from? That's smell. So from here we learn out you have to make a bracha on smell. So the holy B'nai Yisachar asks, why do I need a drasha that you have to make a bracha on smell? The Gemara says a klal on Daf Lamed Hey. Svarahu, it's a logic. Aser loy la adam sheyehana min ha'olam hazeh b'loy bracha. You can't get hana from this world without a blessing. So why is the Gemara asking, oh, how do you know you have to make a bracha on smell? Of course you have to make a bracha on smell. Why? You have to make a bracha on any pleasure. Why would smell be any less? Says the Holy B'nai Yisachar, you ever notice that by the sin of the Eitz Hadas, it says, Vateresh, she saw. V'chisavahu lo'inayim. So the eyes were involved. V'atigam v'vatoichal, she ate. So the taste buds. V'atitein, she gave it. Touching. V'yishmao, they listened. But we don't find that they smelled it. Nobody smelled the Eitz Hadas. Says the B'nai Yisachar, from here we see that the sense of smell remained in its pristine form from before the sin. Smell did not participate in the sin of the Eitz Hadas. And therefore, what's the reason we make a bracha? The concept of a bracha is to be mevarer, to clean out, to select the good from the bad. Because by the sin of the Eitz Hadas, Ra got mixed into everything in this world, but something that remained pure, Ra never got mixed into. So you would think you don't have to make a bracha on smell, because the whole purpose of a bracha is to clean out the Ra from the Toiv. But there is no Ra in Reach, and therefore I would think you don't make a bracha, and that's why I need a special drasha. Now, says the B'nai Yisachar, that's why the Gemara says when Mashiach comes, how do you know if someone's Mashiach? Well, because he gives you a business card. I'm Mashiach. Call me. My hours are 9 to 2 on Tuesday to Thursday. How do you know someone's Mashiach? The Gemara says v'haricha b'iras Hashem. If he could smell out a case, if he could use his sense of smell to smell out a case, that's Mashiach. Because Mashiach, who's the Gilgal of Adam HaRishon, he has the sense of smell in its purest form, that's how you know somebody is Mashiach. By the way, the B'nai Yisachar says that's why the characters in the Purim story, Mordechai, Mar Derar, fragrant aroma, Hadassah, Esther, fragrant aroma, because since Purim is like a page out of Olam Haba, therefore all the characters are connected to the sense of smell. So we have, number one, the hands. Give me, put your hands together. The hands are pure. Number two, maybe that's another pshat in why by a levaya, the Gemara says, Mayit Katan, they would clap their hands together. Perhaps it's a tefillah that they should be, they want to go back to an era before the sin of the Eitz Hadas, when there was no Misa. They're like being mispalo, Ribbono Shel Olam. This, you know why this happened? Because we're no longer pure, only the hands are pure. And then, the other thing that remained pure is the kane, the shipoy hakoiva. And the third item that remained pure is the sense of smell. Now, watch this. This is mamish amazing. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you should set your table, Matzah Shabbos, in order to escort the Shabbos, even if you're only going to eat a kezayis. So there's a chiyuv to eat a malava malka, and the simple reason is to escort out the Shabbos. But the Levush gives another reason, and that is a person has one aver, it's called naskoy, and it doesn't get hana from any eating, only from Matzah Shabbos. So there's this limb that a person has, it's called the naskoy, and the naskoy is only nene from Sudas Malava Malka. But the Elia Rabba adds another thing. He says that this naskoy is called the luzbone. And a person was created from the luzbone. The droplet that a person comes from was created from the luzbone. And when a person dies, the luzbone never disintegrates. Even if it would be burnt in fire, it wouldn't burn. It cannot be ground in a mill. It cannot be shattered with a hammer. And from the luzbone, a person will have tchiyas hameisim. You know why the luzbone never could be destroyed? Because the luzbone is only nene from sudas malava malka, which means when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas on Friday, it nourished his whole body, but it didn't feed the luzbone, because the luzbone is not nene from eating on Friday. It's only nene from eating on Matzah Shabbos. So the naskoy, the luz, was not nene from the sin of the Eitz Hadas. And that's why a person will have tchiyas hameisim from the luzbone, because the luzbone can't die, because it was not nene from the sin of the Eitz Hadas. So that's the fourth item that remains pure from the Eitz Hadas. You have the hentalach, you have the windpipe, you have the sense of smell, and the luzbone. The luzbone was not nene from the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Now here's another geshmaka one. The Gemara says in Chulin Yedzayin Amud Beis, if you want to check a knife, you check it on your finger and your nail to test if the knife is smooth. Taisva says, why? But you're not using a knife to cut fingers, you're using a knife to cut throats. So why would you check it on your finger and your nail? Says Toysis, your flesh is like the food pipe and your nail is like the windpipe. Your flesh feels like the food pipe and the nail feels like the windpipe. Rabbi Elisha Chaim Horowitz, Shlita, a Rav in Lawrence, in his Sefer Bechia, he explains, why is it that the nail is like the windpipe? He says very interestingly, because we know before Adam HaRishon was created, before Adam HaRishon sinned, his whole body was full of nail. Right? Adam HaRishon, before his sin, his body was covered in fingernail, in nail. That means the nail represents something that was pre-sin. And then when he sinned, the nail shriveled up and only remained on his finger. So the nail is something that exists from before the sin. And the kane, the windpipe, also didn't participate in the sin. The reason why the fingernail is identical to the windpipe, says Rav Horowitz, is because they're both items that are transcend the sin of Adam Arishon. The nail was the entire body of Adam Arishon before the sin, and the windpipe did not participate in the sin. Now, Marv Raboisai, so it comes out there are five items that did not participate in the sin of Adam Arishon. The hands, the windpipe, the sense of smell, the luz bone, and the fingernail. There is one place in the world that also is above the sin of Adam Arishon. In Pirkei Avos, Parakeh, Mishnah Dalet, it says 10 miracles occur to our forefathers in the Beis HaMikdash. A woman did not miscarry, and the meat did not rot, and there were no flies in the butcher shop, and the Kohen Gadol did not see Keri, and the rain did not extinguish the fire. And Rabbi Yosef Yaivitz, the Chassid Yaivitz, says, what's the commonality between all of these 10 miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash? All of these miracles are above and beyond the degeneration of the sin of Adam Arishon. If the meat didn't disintegrate, it didn't rot, and there were no flies, all of these things are natural consequences of breakdown and disintegration. But at the Beis HaMikdash is above and beyond the sin of Adam HaRishon. And therefore in the Beis HaMikdash, there was no death, there was no carry, there was no breakdown, there was no disintegration. So that means the Beis HaMikdash is, so to speak, like a microcosm of what life was like before the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Perhaps we could humbly suggest, the Gemara in Bracha says on Daf Ches, they told Rabbi Yochanan, they're old people in Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan says, it's impossible, you could only live long in Israel. It says, L'man yirbu yumeichem al ho'adama. And then they told Rabbi Yochanan, no, don't worry, in Bavel they come early to shul and they stay late in shul, that's why they live long. The Marsha asks, why does that explain why they live long? But the Pasuk says, you could only live long in Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps we could suggest that if the shul is like a Beis HaMikdash, the same way the Beis HaMikdash, there was no Misa, there was no degeneration, it was not subject to the curse of Adam HaRishon. If you come early to shul and you stay late, the more time you spend in shul, the more protected you are from the sin of Eitz Hadas. So in the shul, there's no death, there's no Misa, because the shul is like a Mikdash Ma'aren, and the Beis HaMikdash, It transcended the sin of Adam Arishon. Accordingly, we could explain, the Medrash says that after the sin of the Eitz Hadas, God said to Adam, Ayeka. The Medrash says that call of Ayeka is similar to Eicha. That what God was lamenting after the sin of the Eitz Hadas is similar to the lament over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. What's the connection between the sin of the Eitz Hadas that God said, Ayeka Eicha, and the destruction of Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, the same way Adam HaRishon lived in a Gan Eden, and in that Gan Eden there was no decomposition, and there was no Misa, and there's no breakdown, and there's no degeneration, and he ruined that. He brought all these colors to the world. So God lamented, Ayeka Eicha. So to the Beis HaMikdash was like Gan Eden before the sin. And there was no breakdown, and there was no Misa, and there was no degeneration. And we lament Eicha. In other words, Adam Arishon's sin is very analogous to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. These were both a ending of a realm that was above and beyond the sin of the Eitz Hadas. And perhaps this is why we end Megillas Eicha, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilech V'Nashuv Achadesh Yomeinu Kikedem. At the end of Eicha, which is a tefillah to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we say, God, don't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Bring us back to the days of Kedem. Kedem is sort of reminiscent of Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden. Why are we invoking Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden in Eicha? The answer is because of Churban Beis HaMikdash, the world was now hurled into an existence subject to all the klalos of the Eitz Hadas. So the tefillah of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash is bring us to an existence that's above and beyond the sin of the Eitz Hadas, which is Chadesh Yameinu kikedem. But here's the good news, Rabbi Yisai. Even though we live in a world of 10 klalos, but at least we still have a basis, a remnant, a she'eris of items that remained as pristine as they were before the sin of the Eitz Hadas, and they are the hands. So you want to keep your hands clean. That's why the Kohanim bless us with the hands. We're mespala v'yinoyam Hashem Elokeinu aleinu masa yodeinu kanan aleinu, and we have the kaneh, and that's why Moshe was on such a high madrega, and Yaakov Avinu loy meis. And we have the sense of smell, and we have the luz bone that we feed every Matzoi Shabbos, and we have the nail, and of course we have our Beis HaMikdash today, which is the Beis HaKnesses, which is the realm that is above and beyond sin. Thank you everybody for joining us for this first shiur on Sefer Bereishis. Wishing everybody Zman of Bracha v'Hatzlacha with Shabbos Bereishis ahead of us. Haba Aleinu L'Toiva. Everyone should have a Gezunta winter and fall and all the upcoming seasons. Bracha v'Hatzlacha. Have a wonderful night. Kol Tov. All the best. Bye-bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.